IVM.
Welcome to Conversations at Takshashila, a podcast for informed opinions on policy, politics, and economics with experts from the Takshashila Institution. And now, on to today's conversation.
Hello and welcome to Conversations at Takshashila. Today, we're returning to India's ASAT missile test from last month and what it means. To speak with me on this, I have General Menon and Manoj. General, you recently wrote an article where you called for India to adopt a no-first-use posture with its ASAT capabilities as well. Why does India need an NFU posture?
Well, firstly, I have called for an NFU posture as far as the use of kinetic power in space, which means that you use physical force against any other satellite. And I think it is necessary because it is not possible to really target a satellite which will break up into pieces and not affect other countries also. So there are 4 or 5 arguments which I have put across that the kinetic application of force in space will have so much of collateral damage. And also, there are alternatives to affecting the functionality of satellites, which is through the soft kill, which can be laser or electronically based. So every country which has the power to apply kinetic power in space should be able to say that they will not be the first to apply it, because it will not only affect the satellite of the adversaries, it might even affect their own satellites. So in a practical sense, it would just reduce the degree of the possibility that we might have a sort of space war by actually making this declaration. It will calm things down because things are heating up in space.
If I can paraphrase, if I get that correctly, this is an efficiency, effectiveness, and collateral damage sort of argument. But how does announcing no first use sort of improve our lot diplomatically? How does it sort of change our standing? Given that, like you said, there are other means which are non-kinetic by which this confrontation in space can happen.
The first point, I think this is a political posture which you have to adopt. And the posture is that we do not believe, and we think everything should be done which is feasible to prevent a space war or the competition in space actually resulting in a war. And I think NFU would just about lessen those chances. It is not a perfect this thing that there will be no war, but it just sort of calms things down, gives reassurance to the others. And that is the best that you can do now, because as you can see, most nations with the capability to put a satellite in space can also acquire the ability to target somebody else's satellite, as long as they have a concurrent development of a space domain awareness system, you know, because you've got to know where the satellite is, you have to sense that, and you can target it. So it's a capability which other nations who are there can actually exhibit. And therefore, it is primarily meant as a political posture to get everybody and give them greater reassurance. That's about all.
General, the satellites themselves are not the only targets, right? You have ground stations and so on. Are those more viable targets?
In fact, it is, in the sense that the ground stations are fixed and their locations are known. So you could actually target it much more easily than you could target a satellite in space, because eventually if you target the ground stations, then the satellites actually have no use, because whatever that is transmitted by the satellite has to be passed through a ground station to wherever the users are. And take for instance the submarines. Submarines depend upon a huge array of, you can say, ground stations, which have to receive communication through space and then transmit it to the submarine. So if you knock out those ground stations, and they're very easily, because you can see they actually are spread out across everything. You don't have to knock out the satellites, you can knock out the ground stations. And that would apply actually across. So it's easier to knock out. But all these are part of target systems. So in the sense that the military planners would want to develop capability which will knock out the ground stations, will be able to interfere with the links between the satellite and the ground stations and the satellites themselves. What I have said in my article is the one which is the most dangerous out of all this is a kinetic capability, because it will not only affect the target country, there's something called the Keller effect syndrome, and which can actually have a cascading effect of the debris on the entire satellite constitution in an orbit. So
yeah.
That must be avoided at all costs, and that is why the importance of having a no first use in space.
So could you tell us a little bit about these other non-kinetic measures that can be used in case of conflict, which would be far more effective?
Yeah, actually, laser and electronically, cyber war through the cyberspace is where actually more research is actually being done. And there is also now a report, in fact, Colonel Butt had actually traced the lasers, ground laser stations of China. He has actually put out an article on them, and where China has also known to have sort of used the laser on a satellite in 2006. So these are capabilities which countries are already working upon. And in course, they may not be operational now, they're still in their research and development phase. But it's only a matter of time before that happens. And when that happens, and why I'm saying that NFU can actually, at the moment, be restricted to the kinetic power application is because it'll be very difficult to even make out as to, if you have a soft kill, where the perpetrator might be able to hide himself because of the electronic means that are used. So
attribution is a problem
there. Yeah, the attribution would be a problem technologically. Therefore, to say that NFU for everything is should be done, I don't agree with that because it's not feasible. But the least that we can do is about kinetic power application.
Now, you'd also mentioned that kinetic power could create a discrimination problem. When that missile goes up, you don't know if it's a conventional missile or a nuclear missile.
No, that is actually not meant when one of the things I've said is that we need to have conventional missile capability for ground targets, which we have not. Although we have the capability, we have not put our resources there. We need to develop that capability. For that matter, some of these targets might be outside our aircraft range, so it'll be in the missile range. But the problem always is that if you have a missile and you fire a missile for a ground target, the other person does not know whether it is a missile with a conventional warhead or a nuclear warhead. So there is this problem about discrimination. But in the real world, we are already past that because our adversaries have actually already developed a lot of missiles with conventional capability. So we are not going to change the situation very much if we also develop the same capabilities. So I know it will make it worse, but we have no other choice.
Okay. Now, is there a scope over here for some sort of treaty beyond NFU to restrict or slow down an arms race in space?
I think we have to understand that the arms race in space is purely a result of the larger geopolitical flux on Earth itself. And if you have to address the problem about space, you need to actually first address
the political problems here.
So space, what is happening in space is purely driven by technological feasibility and the growing dependence of various systems, even for economic and also for security, of most nations on assets in space. And that is what India has actually said, that it is our growing dependence which has made us actually seek deterrence through this ASAT test. That's the argument which has been given.
Now, India's ASAT missiles can only reach low Earth orbit as of now. Is it wise for us to develop the capability to go higher, given that these weapons are very difficult to use?
No, I'm saying actually developing an ASAT capability for deterrence through a kinetic power may not be a good idea at all. But I'm also saying at the same time that our BMD program gives us a concurrent capability for the same, in which means that we don't have to develop a separate wherewithal for kinetic power. It already exists within our BMD program, because if you want an effective BMD, you have to have space domain awareness, which means you not know where the satellites are, and you have to be able to monitor space. So you have to through radar find out where the missile is, then target that missile while it is moving. So a satellite is much easier to do because that has got a fixed orbit. So if you can develop the capability for shooting down a fixed missile, you also have the capability for shooting down a satellite. I mean, it's the same. The only difference is in whether what sort of capability do you have for different altitudes or different orbits in different altitudes. So I'm not saying, I say this capability of kinetic power, therefore, will be inherent in our BMD program.
Sure.
We can't wish it away. And since we have it, we need to have an NFU, because we will not deliberately ever target a satellite. We will target a missile which is aimed at us, but not a satellite which is in space. So that's the difference.
Manoj, anything else?
The possibility of we've been looking at an NFU in nuclear weapons for a long time. I mean, India has announced a no first use policy, but there are other actors who have not agreed to that. What is the possibility, given that this is now a domain which is where technology is advancing, and therefore we are likely to see more development with regard to sort of weapons? What is the feasibility? Yes, you said that this is a political posture that we adopt to hopefully try to reassure people around us. But the possibility of this being an actually globally sort of something that's on the global agenda?
It's not in the global agenda, because at the moment we are still in the early phases of seeing force application in space, physical force, kinetic force application. We are still in the, so we probably should be the first country actually to embark on this route. It's not a question of whether others agree with us. What we are saying is, as a responsible space power, we have adopted a posture which will be much more stable than for countries which are threatening to actually use it first. So our posture is about what we believe should be done. It is not about whether others agree with it or not. And we are just saying, and that's what this is, the responsibility that India showed, that we have the capability, but we will never use it first. And that is a political posture.
Okay, so thanks, General Menon. Thanks, Manoj. And thank you for joining us on Conversations.
Thank you.
For more such conversations, subscribe to us on your preferred podcasting platform. If you'd like to know more about Takshashila, you can also log on to our website, www.takshashila.org.in, and find out about the public policy courses that we offer, ongoing research projects, latest publications, and much, much more.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.